The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with quarterback conversation on this Tuesday. Did you hear what this one said? Maybe it isn't over yet for the greatest of all time. Meanwhile, we've got the one thing this one absolutely cannot do if he wants any chance of winning it all again. Plus, why this one is facing his toughest test yet in the biggest game of his life. We are ready to go on a Tuesday. It's time to get up starting right now. Delighted you are there and that he is here. Graziano is with us, and that's not all. Dominique Foxworth is up early this morning. Sacho has gotten up early this morning. We've got a ton of football to get to as we are 5 days away from the Super Bowl. And a man who has been in 10 of them continues to make news. It's only been a week since Tom Brady officially retired from the NFL, and he's already talking about coming back. Listen to Brady on his Let's Go podcast yesterday talking about the possibility of a return.
I'm just going to take things as they come. You know, I think that's the best way to put it. And I don't think anything never, you know, you never say never. And, you know, at the same time, I know that I feel very good about my decision. So, how it feels 6 months from now, but you know, I try to make the best possible decision I can in the moment, which I did this last week. And again, I think it's not looking to, you know, reverse course. I'm definitely not looking to do that. But in the same time, I think you have to be realistic that you never know what challenges there are going to be in life. And again, I love playing. I'm looking forward to doing things other than playing. That's as honest as I can be with you there, Jim.
Dominique, I'll give you the first crack at this. We're not a full week from the moment that the Instagram post hit the world that Tom Brady had announced his retirement. He's already being honest with Jim. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to predict what Tom Brady is going to do. I mean, I was surprised that he was going to retire given how well he had played and given the roster that they still possess down there. But he said it was time to be a family man, and I'm going to take him at his word. I think maybe he's just hesitant to completely close the chapter, despite the fact that like 15-page Instagram post seemed pretty final there. But I guess Tom is being right. Never say never. Anything could happen. I'm sure down in Tampa Bay they would welcome him back, but the rest of the NFC, I think, would be a little disappointed to see Tom Brady, potential MVP, coming back for another run.
Sacho, what do you think?
I think Tom Brady is going to enjoy his time at home and not want to come back in 6 months, 3 months, 10 months from now. When he gets home, he's going to spend time with his family, spend time with his wife. He's going to realize all the things he's been missing the last over two decades he's been playing football. He's accomplished everything he's needed to do on the football field. Now it's time for this man to go be a dad and enjoy it. So he is not coming back.
All right, Graziano, hear me out. I'm going to tell you why I disagree. 1 year ago today, I had Tom Brady Sr. on my radio show. They had just won the Super Bowl in Tampa. And I asked him, what motivates Tom to keep going? And he said, because he loves all the things everyone else hates. He loves the grind. He loves the nutrition piece of it. He loves the film work. He loves all the work of it. I know, Nick, you're shaking your head because it's what makes most football players retire.
But yeah, nobody loves that. I don't believe his daddy. That's
there
not
is
fun.
Something about that. Let's put it this way. He hates it less than most other people hate it, at minimum. And I think that the way I've read this with Brady the entire time was this is a person who doesn't want to retire, but is being told by people he cares about genuinely that he should, that it is time for him to do so. But I think he is going to miss it. I think it is an itch he is going to scratch, or want to scratch. I think it is being incredibly honest in that interview, and I will not be the least bit surprised if he comes back to play.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, Sacho's point about how he's going to get home and figure out what he was missing. He's been home a week, and he's already said never say never. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Look, I think that to the point about the work and the grind, like, that starts pretty soon, right? I mean, the players who are on this show can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like, you know, you have to start working again for next year, probably, like, somewhere in February and March. So I don't think it's as simple as Tom Brady sitting out, you know, eating pizza and ice cream and then deciding in August that it's he wants to try this again. I think he would have to keep that possibility alive somewhat actively and starting somewhat soon. So I think, you know, maybe we'll be able to find out what he's doing in the offseason and whether that points toward a possible return. But I think that grind, that off-season work, the detail stuff that separated him and made his career something that no one else has ever had, that's the kind of stuff that he's going to have to do if he wants to keep the return, the possibility of a return alive. And that's why I would be skeptical.
I think it's also worth pointing out, and most of us in this conversation are aware of this from personal experience, while all careers are different. Like, being a good parent and working hard in a career don't have to be mutually exclusive. There is a way to do both of those things. I fully understand and appreciate and respect the concerns that his wife seems to have for his health. And she's been talking about concussions for 5 years. That's a whole other thing, and it's not a concern that right. we face doing what we do for a living. But I don't think it's impossible to do both of those things, Nate.
I mean, I don't know if, to Graziano's point, to prepare at the age of 44, maybe 45, it's going to require a little bit more focus every single year. So to your point, Greeny, I guess that's true for most of us. But to be the best quarterback in football at 45 years old, I'm not sure you could spend any time doing anything other than trying to be the best quarterback in the league at 45. So I think that's a really hard thing to just hit a switch come training camp time and, again, be that dude. He's not 25. It's going to be hard for him. And if this is on his mind right now, maybe we should believe it. But I think it's just like you're a little uncertain when you make big choices like that. And he's being honest with us. We should take it for his honesty. But I'd be shocked, which I guess should no longer be shocked involving anything that involves Tom Brady. But I would be shocked if he came back after he had already retired.
Sacho, let me throw one last thought at you here. Next August, some good team, a team that figures to be good, will lose its quarterback in training camp or in a preseason game, and they will call Tom Brady. That will happen, right? A phone call will be placed to Tom Brady at minimum to gauge his interest in coming back and playing for them. Yes or no?
Yes, it will, but Tom Brady will look at his phone. He'll press that red button and he'll press end call. He will not pick up the phone. There's no reason to. He'll look at his wife. He'll look at his kids. I mean, I get it what you're saying, Greeny, that it makes sense. You can do both. But Tom Brady said it himself about a year ago. He said, no one else is willing to sacrifice what I am willing to sacrifice in order to be the best. That's why I'm the best. And so Tom Brady will not make that trade-off again if he's going to be the best parent that he wants to be.
Again, I'll leave it with this thought. You know, they say once you start talking about or thinking about retirement, yeah. you might as well be retired. Once you start thinking about coming back, you might as well just come back. It works in the reverse as well. It works. Trust me, it works. I'm keeping this conversation alive if it's the last thing I do. Next up, 5 days and counting until Super Bowl 56. Yesterday, the Rams held a small-scale, invite-only pep rally in Thousand Oaks, California. The Rams have lost the Super Bowl twice since last they won it in 99. Meanwhile, 30,000 Bengals fans showed up at Paul Brown Stadium for a pep rally. Cincinnati, of course, seeking its first ever Super Bowl title behind their young star quarterback. Here's Broadway Joe on the matchup.
We have a really young team that doesn't really even understand, you know, the historical significance of what we're doing. We're just out there playing football, and they're a very good defensive front. Obviously, you guys like Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Von Miller are guys that are going to get pressure. So it's going to be how I handle the pressure, how I'm able to get the ball out of my hands, and then two, how we're going to be able to handle them up front. And I'm, you know, have the utmost confidence in our offensive line to make it happen.
I'll remind everyone, this is a man who was sacked 9 times in a playoff game against Tennessee just a few weeks ago, and they didn't have any of the aforementioned guys like Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Leonard Floyd. So, Dominique Foxworth, should Joe Burrow be concerned about that Rams front?
Absolutely, and I'm sure he is. You say what you have to say to the camera, but I think Joe Burrow, the most important thing he can do is avoid third down at all costs. Like, take shots on first and second down because you don't want to get in a passing situation. And if you do end up in that situation, he should be looking to run, whether it's a design run or a scramble, looking to do that early to help neutralize that pass rush, because there is no scheme that they have that can double team 3 guys, 4 guys that are going to be coming after him. and also still have the manpower to cover in the secondary. He's going to be in trouble if he does not decide to run the ball and evade the rush early to hopefully slow down the speed rush of the edge and, frankly, the speed rush up the middle of somebody like Aaron Donald.
That's an interesting point, Sacho. It felt like in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City, they were second and nine on every single series, it seemed like, and he kept finding ways to convert. But this is a different defense, yes? So what do you think, Sacho, of that matchup?
I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about the matchup. The reason why I'm not worried is that we saw this story before. We saw Joe Burrow get sacked nine times and his team still win the game. We've seen this, right? Tennessee was all over Joe Burrow. It seemed like every other play it was a sack, yet he still found a way to win, number one. And number two, Joe Burrow understands what it takes on third down. Third down, he's not throwing it to Ja'Marr Chase on third down. He's either running it, like Neek said, or he's throwing it to T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd. That's what he's doing on third down. And so it's a two-part story. Story one, he's going to get sacked. Story two, he's going to be fine.
You look skeptical to me, Dominique.
Yeah, I mean, because that Tennessee game was an aberration, not a strategy. Like the idea that he could get sacked nine times and ever win another football game in the history of or in all of the future of football, I think is unlikely. I don't see that happening again, especially not against Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Jalen Ramsey in the back end. Like, those are sack fumble opportunities. That is not a strategy.
Yeah, what happened in that game, of course, is that Ryan Tannehill threw three picks and right. It kind of balanced itself out on the other side. What do you think? What is the overarching view of that matchup?
I think he's going to see some pressure, and he knows that. That he said that. Like, there's going to be pressure. It's going to be about how I handle it. And he has confidence in his ability to handle it. I think as long as he can get back up, I think the Bengals are going to have a chance, right? Because nine times, I don't know how many more sacks than nine the Rams can get. I mean, that's a huge, huge number. And he did win the game. And no, it's not a strategy, to Neek's point, but it shows you the resilience of this player and of this team. And this is a defense that has done a good job of keeping the team in or bringing the team back into games throughout this postseason. And I think as long as Joe Burrow can handle the pressure, be that react to getting hit appropriately or avoid getting hit to the extent that he can, I think they're going to be fine.
It's an interesting little note. You see it on your screen. Burrow was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL this year. His counterpart, Matthew Stafford, was the most intercepted quarterback in the NFL this year. Which one of those two winds up becoming the biggest factor? Go ahead, finish up.
First quarterback ever to be sacked 50 or more times in the regular season and reach the Super Bowl.
So we'll see. So. You're right. Hey, look, it's not a strategy, obviously. He has
Sounds
to keep
like
getting
strategy
up every
me.
Time.
That's a terrible strategy because those are sacked fumbles. The Rams are actually very bad against quarterbacks rushing the ball. So I think that is the strategy. Run the ball, Joe Burrow. Don't hold it because sack fumbles you can't come back from.
All right, we'll see how they're able to do. We have so much more on this as we continue. And this, as I mentioned, it's a day filled with quarterbacks. Say cheese. Why one of our group says Aaron Rodgers could be making the biggest mistake of his career if he leaves Green Bay. Plus, the fuss over Russ. Is Wilson an all-time great? Why did this become such a controversy yesterday? We'll try and figure it out next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Arby's. Arby's, we have the meat. All right, let's run the hurry up here. Super Bowl week, and Dan, what is the latest on the legal situation of Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, disturbing situation in Las Vegas where Saints running back Alvin Kamara was arrested and taken into custody at the stadium following the Pro Bowl Sunday, charged with battery resulting in substantial bodily harm. The police say they have video of the incident. Kamara and his friends punching a man in Las Vegas over the weekend. He has a court appearance scheduled for March 8th, obviously in significant legal trouble and could be in line to face league discipline as well in the form of a suspension, which, if that happens, would be a problem for this man, Dennis Allen, who will be elevated from defensive coordinator to head coach of the New Orleans Saints, replacing Sean Payton, who decided to step away a couple of weeks ago. Dennis Allen, the former Raiders head coach, who has been the Saints defensive coordinator since 2015, succeeds Sean Payton. Saints wanted to keep some continuity there, the program that Payton had built. And then the other head coaching hiring that happened on Monday was Lovie Smith of the Houston Texans. He was their defensive coordinator. He is elevated to head coach. A little bit of a surprise entry into the proceedings late. The Texans interviewed him on Sunday, made him the head coach on Monday. Smith, a former head coach of the Bears and the Buccaneers as well, now takes over the Texans after they fired David Culley after just 1 year.
And that closes out this year's hiring cycle. 9 jobs came open, and all 9 have now been filled. And Dominique Foxworth, those last two, New Orleans and Houston, were places where Brian Flores had been a finalist for both of those jobs. And he released a statement yesterday congratulating the new hires, but suggesting that perhaps his lawsuit was a reason why he does not have a job today. And so I guess I would just ask you your reaction, Dominique, on all of this and how, if at all, Brian Flores plays into it.
Well, Brian Flores' lawsuit may be a reason why he doesn't have a job, but it's also the reason why we got 2 non-white coaches immediately. Prior to the lawsuit, none were hired. Immediately after, the Dolphins and the Texans go and hire minority coaches, and the Saints hire Dennis Allen. But they give us a list of all the black coaches that they almost hired, so maybe that represents some form of progress also. I do think that in the Miami case, it's working out really well for them, because no matter whether they were considering Mike McDonald before this or not, he's the perfect person for the job there, considering his history with the Shanahan run game and that offensive line issue that they have. If they can make the game as simple for Tua in Miami as they did for Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, I think it works out. So Brian Flores, I guess the Dolphins still owe Brian Flores some appreciation for the job that he's doing for them even after he's gone.
All right, we will wait and see, again, what becomes of that lawsuit and any of the other coaching news. In the meantime, one of the most overwhelming storylines of last offseason, and sure to be for at least the foreseeable future, is Aaron Rodgers and his decision-making. He plans to make his decision on this coming season before free agency begins, which is next month. Yesterday on this program, Dan Orlovsky said no matter what else happens, Rodgers should stay in the NFC.
Don't go to Denver. I said it last week. It's a death sentence out there. The Chargers are going to be a lot better. You got the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver's a good football team. The Raiders are going to be a lot better. Greeny, the AFC is not a place for a Super Bowl or a quarterback to go and try to go make a last Super Bowl run. This is very similar to what Tom did in New England. When Tom was making his decision a couple years ago, it was get out of the AFC because it was so loaded. If I'm Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers wants to say, I want to make a final run at the Super Bowl, your by far easiest path is in the NFC.
Interesting. Sacho, do you agree with that? Come heck or high water, Aaron Rodgers should avoid going to the AFC.
I completely agree with that, especially the AFC West with those teams that Orlovsky mentioned. There's no reason to go there because right now in your current situation, you are your division winner consistently year in and year out. If you go there, there's a good chance you may not win the division. You may even be second, third place in that division. And so, yeah, you might make the playoffs, but it is a tough battle, an uphill battle that you do not want to climb.
What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I think you pick the best team, not the best situation. And you go to where you think there's a roster that can win a championship. Not an easier path. We all know how fickle this game is and how unpredictable so many things are in this game. No one would have picked Cincinnati and to be in the Super Bowl. There's always things that surprise us every year. You don't go somewhere thinking that it's going to be an easier path. Maybe it'll work out better for me. You go to the situation that you think is most set up to win, and I still think that remains the Broncos, and you become a powerhouse that can knock off any team, not trying to skirt around the edges and sneak your way back into a Super Bowl and hope you get lucky.
It's an interesting way of looking at it, an interesting way of sort of dividing up the decision, if you will, that he has to make. In the meantime, he's not alone in this, right? Like, as we all sit here and speculate about what Rodgers will do, he has to have a willing partner in the Green Bay Packers. If he's going to leave there, they're going to have to facilitate that, and it won't just strictly be, you explain to me, exactly what he wants or however it is he wants.
Well, the way they restructured the contract to get him back into training camp last year does give him a great deal of power because of this cap hit. You see how significant the cap hit is. If he refuses to do anything with the contract, it's an untenable one for them. So he can effectively force a trade if that's what he wants, or he could threaten to retire, which he has mentioned publicly a couple of times.
I get that part of it. Yeah. Here's what I would say to you. If I'm the Green Bay Packers, I would rather Aaron Rodgers retire than go play in San Francisco.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if he winds up in San Francisco or, God help you, Minnesota,
right,
or someplace like that, you can't have that.
Right. And so, obviously, there's going to be a discussion that has to be had between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Those discussions are almost certainly ongoing at this time. Where they net out is anyone's guess. But I think to the point that these guys were discussing, yes, I mean, it's about winning the Super Bowl, and I think that's probably one of the primary motivations for Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think it's the only one. I mean, when you go back to last summer and his press conference when he came to camp, there were a lot of things about the way the Packers operate that were ticking him off. I think if you're a team that can sell him on giving him some of those things that he wants and isn't getting in Green Bay, you might have a leg up, even if you are in a tough division, because I think at this point in his career, I don't think just winning another Super Bowl is all he's looking for.
Well, Dominique, would one of those things be putting everything on the table? Orlovsky talked about that yesterday, doing something similar to what the Rams did, which is saying, the future be darned, I'm going all in, I got Rodgers, I'm going to act as though I have him for 1 year and do everything I can to win it right now.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a prudent strategy. It seems like it's worked for the Bucs a couple years ago. It's working for the Rams right now. And I know Graziano was pointing out earlier that the Bengals even were aggressive this offseason in a way that they haven't been in the past. So it seems like the smart thing to do, not only for a quarterback who only has a couple years of competitive football left in him or a few years of competitive football left in him, but also from a franchise standpoint. Like, draft picks seem to be overvalued at this point. If you can exchange draft picks for proven Pro Bowl, All-Star, and in Rams' case, Hall of Fame level talent, if I'm a quarterback, I want to go there. And if I'm a team, that's a strategy that I think works.
All right, we should know in the next few weeks what Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to do, and then we'll see if he's able to make it happen. It's going to be very interesting to watch. As we continue to the Super Bowl we go, how much pressure is Matthew Stafford under to win the whole thing? If he doesn't, will the season be a failure? That's the question. We've got the answer. Plus, he's a Super Bowl champ and a 9-time Pro Bowler. Where does that leave Russell Wilson on the list of all-time greats? And how did this become such a controversial conversation? We will explain it all next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up in time for your wake-up call. Fabulous finish, Virginia and Duke last night. Here's the voice of Virginia sports, John Freeman, on the call.
Dishes it to Kihei Clark with 5, with 4. Clark finds Beekman, fires the 3.
Yes!
Good!
Yes!
He hit the
he
shot!
Got it!
He hit the shot!
He got it!
With 0.7 seconds to go!
Oh, my goodness!
My goodness, the silence is deafening! Sixers have done it! They take down number 7 Duke, and Virginia basketball is back!
It's a great call. The irony of screaming the silence is deafening is fun. Anyway, at SEC Big Ten Super Tuesday doubleheader tonight, Kentucky and South Carolina, then Illinois and Purdue, battle of the two top teams in the Big Ten. Great college hoops coming your way tonight here on ESPN. Meanwhile, Super Bowl edition of More or Less here on Get Up. Sacho, I'm starting with you. More or less than 2.5 players, including the quarterbacks, will throw a pass in this game. What do you think?
Absolutely more. This is the Super Bowl. This is when offensive coordinators want to strut their stuff. We all remember the Philly special. We also all remember the last couple weeks in the playoffs where we've seen players that aren't quarterbacks throw passes. You're probably going to see 4 different players, 2 quarterbacks, 2 non-quarterbacks, throw passes in this game. The coaches will strut their stuff.
I'm with you. Odell, I think I would. It's a safe bet will be one of them. Meanwhile, Neek, here's a good one. More or less than 78 receiving yards for Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm going to go with more. It's going to be hard to get that yardage, but I think Chase is used to, he's accustomed to getting double teamed. I don't think they will double team in this game. They'll have Jalen Ramsey match up against him, and holding him to 78 yards is a good day for anyone. So it's not a knock against Jalen Ramsey. I think he'll play well in man coverage, but the way the rules are in this current game, it's hard to hold a receiver down, especially if they're going to force him the ball, which they're certainly going to do to Ja'Marr Chase. So I got more.
All right, and one more. Graziano, this is for you on Matt Stafford. More or less than 286.5 yards in the air?
I'm going to say fewer it should be, but I'm going to say less. I'll say under the 286.5. The Bengals have made life difficult on quarterbacks this postseason. Derek Carr went over this number, but he also had the highest QBR the Bengals have allowed this postseason, about 41.3. The other two quarterbacks they faced, Ryan Tannehill and Patrick Mahomes, did not hit that number. I say Matthew Stafford stays under.
All right, that would probably go a long way toward determining how this game looks. In the meantime, for Stafford, who turned 34 years old yesterday, he's playing in his first Super Bowl, and he was talking at their media night last night about all the pressure leading into the biggest game of his life.
We say it around here all the time, pressure is a privilege. You know, that means, you know, something is expected of you, and we expect that of ourselves anyway. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is just the overall excitement for this opportunity, knowing what it took to get here.
I always feel the need to point out pressure is a privilege was the title of Billie Jean King's autobiography. That's where that right. phrase began, and it certainly does apply, I should say, here. And I'm going to ask a question that I think people will assume I'm taking a position on just by asking it. But I'll go last on this one, and I'll make my feelings clear. But Dominique Foxworth, the Rams went all in on this. They made the aggressive move for Stafford. He came there with the purpose of winning them a championship. If they lose on Sunday, will that have been a failure?
Absolutely. I think that they all are in this to win championships. And I understand that the premise that they are looking to prove, if they were looking to prove a premise of going all in, works. I agree. They've proven that. But they don't care about that. They're not out here to be putting out research papers. They're out here to win championships. So they will believe it's a failure if they do not win a championship after trading away so many draft picks and stockpiling their team with, frankly, a number of future Hall of Famers. They got 3 of them for sure on defense. So I do think that for them and for anybody viewing this, it will be a failure if they don't win a championship after all that they put into getting to this point.
Sacho, agree or disagree?
Hey, Neek, I'll be viewing it, and it won't be a failure for me if they don't win this game. Not only are they set for this year, but they're set for the future. The Rams have one of the youngest teams on average in the NFL, number one. And number two, the fact that you even got here, I get it. It's win or go home. But the fact that you got here, you made a big-time trade for a big-time quarterback that had big-time questions, yet he delivered big-time answers. This is already a win. This is already a successful season for the Rams. But it's not just about this season. It's about the next few seasons that they have with the roster that's upon them.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. But even just staying within the confines of this season, Graziano, there are 30 teams that would love to be where they are. I understand it would not be the ultimate success that they were looking for. But there's something about attaching the word failure to a team that beat Tom Brady on the road in the playoffs, that made it to... Look, if they lose to Arizona 3 weeks ago, I'm more than comfortable saying this was a failure. You get to the Super Bowl, I have a tough time attaching that word. What do you think?
I'm with you. I mean, I think... And I'm also... I think Sacho's point is very important here. They're not... all in for this year to the point where everyone is going to leave. I mean, Stafford's going to be there next year. Aaron Donald, you know, talk about one of those future Hall of Famers. That's their guy. They drafted him 8 years ago. He's on a long-term contract. Jalen Ramsey's on a long-term contract. I mean, they're set up, right? I mean, maybe they bring Odell back. Maybe they don't. Maybe they bring Von Miller back. Maybe they don't. But those were extra pieces that they added along the way. And you can always do that, especially when you have a foundation as strong as the Rams have built.
All right, Nate, why the face?
I mean, because this is a long way to go around this very simple question. Did they compile this team to win a championship? Would it be considered a success if they win a championship? Yes. Is it a failure if they lose the championship? Then, I mean, by definition, if you are not succeeding, you are failing. Talking about what they're going to do next year? Yeah, that's fine. We can talk about that next year. Right now, this team is healthy enough, talented enough to win a championship. They will have failed if they do not. You can ask them that themselves after the game. They will tell you, yes, this was a failure. Next year, maybe we'll succeed, but this year was a failure.
I don't know. I think to break the whole thing up into there was either success or failure, and there was no nuance or gradation of either of those two things is, in my view, oversimplifying it.
Go ahead, Dan. If they lose Sunday and win next year's Super Bowl, then their team building
we're not talking about next year, Dan. Not talking about next year. We could have this conversation 365 days from now.
I'm sure
currently,
we will.
We're talking about this Super Bowl. This Super Bowl will be a failure if they do not win. You want to add nuance and gradients and greedy parlance to a situation that does not require it. It does not require it. You are either inside or you are outside. You can't be both. And they want to be inside. I will not allow you guys to take all of this extemporaneous foolishness and make this something else.
Go ahead.
Technically, you could be both, right? You know, these sliding doors, the door's open. You got one foot inside, one foot outside.
All right.
So there are so many scenarios where you
officially just won this debate.
Be both.
I just officially won this debate.
I'm going to introduce you to something called a gazebo, where you can be both inside and outside at the same time.
SoFi
gazebo. You're outside.
That's exactly the same.
That's right. They're playing in a stadium with a retractable roof.
Literally inside and outside at the same time.
It is either a one or a zero. How you guys are going to start doing fractions.
We'll leave that there for the moment.
It's a zero or a one.
All right, so speaking of taking something that has a little nuance and turning it into the most oversimplified version of the conversation, I introduce you to Twitter yesterday and its reaction to Ryan Clark's comments on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, who missed the playoffs this year. Wilson only played 14 games. He was hurt. RC yesterday talked about Russell Wilson. Here's a little bit of what he said on Get Up.
Russell Wilson is a very good football player. Russell Wilson is a really good quarterback. Russell Wilson is not a great quarterback. Russell Wilson is not an all-time great quarterback. He's never going to be in those conversations. And so we have to stop putting him in those, in that world, in that world that any team that has Russell Wilson can win a Super Bowl.
All right, so that's what he said. And then he was trending on Twitter for like the entire day, and he wound up posting this thought. I didn't think what I said was that controversial, and I agreed with him. It's worth pointing out that the topic of conversation was he the successor to Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers? And Ryan Clark was giving his opinion that he isn't in that, he isn't on that caliber of player. You can agree or disagree, but I hardly think it's the most controversial statement. One way or the other, the reaction was sort of fun. Dominique, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reaction, every people got upset because he said he wasn't great. I don't think anyone thinks that he's the successor to Tom Brady because there is not one. That does not exist. And people also probably don't think that he is on par with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, which is probably fair given his performance in the last couple seasons. But the idea that adding Russell Wilson to a roster does not make team considerably better and most likely when he's healthy, a playoff team and legitimate Super Bowl contender. Like, I think that's where he might have gone a bit too far. I think most teams in this league would be really happy. Russell Wilson is an upgrade at quarterback for, I don't know, all but maybe five or six teams in this league. So yeah, Russell's been pretty special on a team that has not drafted well since he's been there. And the last time they had something close to a complete roster, they went to the Super Bowl. They lost. The time before that, they won the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I think Russell is an all-time great quarterback. My bar for that is kind of like, do I think you're going to go to the Hall of Fame? I think Russell's numbers will support that, along with the fact that he's won a Super Bowl. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. So yeah, he is an all-time great quarterback.
Sacho, go.
Well, Russell Wilson was a handoff away from being a two-time Super Bowl winner. Not only a two-time Super Bowl winner, the youngest ever quarterback to be a two-time Super Bowl winner, 26 years and 40-some-odd days. And so the narrative would have changed if an offensive coordinator would have called a run to Marshawn Lynch, and then we wouldn't have been having this kind of conversation, number one. But really, more importantly, when you talk about greatness, it's all relative, right? We say, well, it's a Super Bowl thing. Quarterbacks, Super Bowls, those are intertwined, but sometimes if you look at it, the way that rosters are built, defense wins championships oftentimes, right? We talked about Big Ben early in his career was led by the defense. And so for me, Russell Wilson statistically hasn't been the best quarterback, but he's been the most consistent quarterback, or one of the most consistent quarterbacks over the last decade.
What do you think of the whole thing, Graz?
I didn't understand what RC was getting at. I appreciate the context about how it came up. But I do think he's an all-time great. I mean, he's got more wins through 10 seasons than any quarterback ever has. He's fourth all-time in passer rating. There are numbers that support him as an all-time great quarterback. And to Sacho's point, yeah, I think, you know, not only a two-time Super Bowl champion if they don't get intercepted there, but against Peyton Manning and Tom Brady mm-hmm. back-to-back years. I mean, pretty significant. So, yeah, I think Seattle has not built around him the kind of team that it had early in his career, and that makes a difference. I do think we've seen years where he has elevated the team beyond its talent level otherwise and carried them to wins. And I do think there are rosters in this league that if you added Russell Wilson to them instead of their current quarterback would transform from decent teams to Super Bowl contending teams.
Yes, and as I pointed out yesterday, I think Pittsburgh is one of them. I think that Pittsburgh, everyone keeps talking about all these other places. If the Steelers found a way to get themselves Russell Wilson, I think that would become the most interesting of all the quarterback moves that could happen this offseason, taking Rodgers out of the conversation. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, we are by no means done with those. Coming up next, the social media scrub that has the entire NFL buzzing. Could another star QB be on the move this offseason? We'll tell you who he is and why we wonder. Plus, the surprise that gave OBJ chills yesterday, and it was so close to not happening at all. Don't miss it. Special moment as we roll on. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
Facing teams.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
And it is that time once again where I will ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to that man, Dominique Foxworth, and whether he's ready or not, he's going to have to answer them. And here's the first. Neek, which person is under the most pressure to succeed in the entire NFL next season?
I think it's an easy one. I think it's got to be Mike McCarthy. Like, generally, the Cowboys are under a tremendous amount of pressure, more than most franchises, because for whatever reason, this country loves the Dallas Cowboys, or at least loves to pay attention to them. You combine that with the fact that Sean Payton has just taken a year off and made it quite clear that he wants to come back to coaching at some point and was rumored to be able to take this job. I think that The outcome of next season will determine whether Mike McCarthy ever gets a head coaching job in this league again. He may not be back with the Cowboys if things don't turn out the way Jerry Jones expects, and I'm not sure that anyone else could be convinced to hire him after what would be considered a failure in Dallas.
Okay, fair enough. Yes. That was one case in which I think the use of the word failure does appropriately apply. Next, how, Dominique, did you, and thus should we, read into Kyler Murray scrubbing the Cardinals from his social media yesterday?
I mean, I'm probably too old, but I know that it means something. When you scrub people from your social media, it seems like it takes a lot of effort to go and erase pictures and unfollow people. So you're trying to send a message. Mike Golic Jr. mentioned yesterday that he thought maybe it was tied to some sort of promotional push around a Super Bowl. That's possible because I don't know why he would be upset with Arizona. Like, what I remember from their last game wasn't anybody else's fault. Other than Kyler Murray, they went and got him the receiver that he needed. The offensive line isn't perfect, but they got a lot of talent and the playmakers around him. They got a coach who, as we understand it, like has history with him and understands how to build offenses for him to succeed in. I'm not sure why he will be upset with the Cardinals. So who knows? But Kyler Murray, I guess the ball's in his court. He'll tell us sooner or later.
If you look at his social media, you would think that he played football at Oklahoma and now plays for the Oakland A's. That's what you would think because those are the only pictures that he has on there. All right, one more. Here we go. How would you describe the team-building strategy of the Los Angeles Rams in one word?
Awesome. Like, prudent also. I think we characterize it as a bit of a gamble. High risk and high reward situation, which maybe it is, but I think they also understand that the ego of most people who are running teams, general managers, is such that they think they can make the right choice all the time. And it seems like what the Rams here are doing is they're trading those early round picks for decided, like proven veteran, all pro type level players, and accepting that if they can get more in the late rounds, that maybe they'll get lucky, and kind of accepting that they're going to get it wrong more than they're going to get it right, while I'm kind of feasting on the ego of the rest of the other teams in the league that think that, oh yeah, give me more first round picks, that'll work out for me. So I like it. Sooner or later, people will start to copy it if the Rams are able to turn this into a Super Bowl win, and then they'll probably zag back the other way.
It's fair enough. So I want to bring everyone in on this because we talked about this the other day, this whole idea of putting together a quote-unquote dream team, right, which for years in basketball now has been the way to do it, right? Guys come together. It started with those three guys in Miami, and we've seen it go through. In football, generally, when we say that, we always talk about the times it didn't work. It almost never has worked, putting together a collection of star players. In this case, bringing in Von Miller, who was a Super Bowl MVP, Odell Beckham Jr., who was a superstar, Matthew Stafford, who's a perennial top-level quarterback. That historically has not worked. Sacho, do you think that now becomes the way to build teams into the future? It's a copycat league. Do you think that more teams will try to put together a dream team in the NFL?
Well, I just think the premise is wrong in that this isn't necessarily a dream team. A lot of the stars on this team are homegrown. Cooper Kupp is a homegrown talent. Aaron Donald is homegrown. And yes, you brought additional stars to help light up the galaxy, but the core of your team are guys like the Cups, who's a triple crown winner, are guys like Aaron Donald, one of the best defensive linemen to ever play the game. Even Robert Woods, who got injured this year, he's a core piece of their team. And so I love the ancillary pieces that the Rams brought over, and I do think that teams with wisdom will start trading away draft picks to get proven players. But no, I don't think this is necessarily the same style of dream team that we think of it. It's more of a team with homegrown talent that's brought in superstars.
Interesting. Graz?
I agree with Sacho. Look, you can't do what the Rams did and have success unless you've already built the foundation of a contending team. Hembo told me this morning the team that got the most snaps out of players on rookie deals this year was the Rams. They have built something there that is sustainable. And then they look and they say, well, where do we need help and how can we get it? Do we want to trade our first round pick for Matthew Stafford because we need to elevate at the quarterback position, our next two first round picks? Yeah, that's worth it because we need the quarterback. But they don't go out and spend like sailors in free agency. Von Miller and Odell Beckham were value acquisitions. Look at this. Tell me who's the all-in team. Who's the team that pushed all its chips in the middle of the table in the Super Bowl? The Bengals have spent $271 million $30 million on free agents the last two off seasons to the Rams, $36 million last in the league. So I think what you have here is a Rams team that is built the right way, the traditional way, and they've been successful at it. And then when they see an opportunity, oh, Von Miller's available? We should check that out. He could help us. Oh, Odell Beckham's available? That could be a nice luxury for us. We should check that out. And, of course, the Stafford move, which is a big one. Jalen Ramsey move, which is the big one. We talked about that Friday. I mean, they have him on a long-term deal. Still a young player when they acquire him. Probably better and more useful to them than whoever they could have got with those first-round picks.
I guess you could say they've been opportunistic, Nick, and I'll give you the floor here, but I mean, they got Jalen Ramsey when he wanted, it was a superstar player who wanted out of a bad situation. Odell, as a super unique circumstance. Stafford, who spent a decade toiling in Detroit, and the Von Miller situation as well. Go ahead, Nick, take over.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like Graziano's point, but what you're missing out is the giving up of the draft picks. I don't think it's about the amount of money spent or the number of guys on a rookie deal as much as it's about the expectation or the belief that they are trading away or they're mortgaging their future for the present. So the Bengals haven't done the same thing in that way. So I think that's what makes it feel more all in and more super teamy is the fact that they have given up the future. And Greeny, the Celtics were the ones who started that. Don't blame that on LeBron.
That's true. But the thing is, they're only giving up specific picks. It's just their first rounders. Since McVay got there, they haven't made a first round pick. But they've made more picks in the other rounds than any other team except one, which is Minnesota. So they give up the first round pick. And this is a philosophy you see with some other teams. Seattle has said this too when they've made similar trades. Where the Rams generally pick in the first round is not a spot where teams usually assess first round talent. Most teams have like 18, 19, 20 first rounders on their board. If you're picking 28th, or 31st, then you're not getting a first rounder anyway. Why not trade that pick for someone you know can help?
No, it's smart. So maybe going all the way back to the beginning. Dominique had the right word. It's been awesome the way they have built this team, and here they are.
It works.
One win away from a championship. Coming up, he's been retired for less than a week, and Tom Brady is already talking about coming back. Will he do it? You have to hear what he said last night. That is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.